The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Here this morning, want to draw closer to God. How many here want more of God in their life? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. And we're going to talk about how we can draw closer to God. And the number one thing is drawing closer to God is giving Him more of you. And the one thing to get more God in your life is to give Him more of you. The only way that you're going to get more God in your life is to die out the self, to die out of the things that you put before God. And God gave me this message at 12:37 a.m. last Sunday morning. My wife was sleeping rather deeply, and I was laying there awake, and the Lord was ministering to me. And the pastor's message last week and what he gave me is, I was sharing with the pastor after the service at the meal, and he was so excited. He said, that's just what, he said, I bear witness that that's what God is wanting you to preach. So, you know, I just praise God that, you know, He tells us and draws us as into the Spirit together that we bear witness to one another. And I praise God that this morning that we're going to talk about how to draw nearer to God. And you say, how do we draw nearer to God? I'm glad you asked that question. It's always easier when you ask a question. All right? So we're going to find out this morning how to draw closer to God and how to get more of God in our life. You've got all of God in your life that you can contain right now. How many agree with that? But to get more of God in your life, you got to start burying more of you. You got to start decreasing. He must increase. And for us to decrease, it means we have to seek Him more. We have to let go of the things of the world. How many of us, and this doesn't sound good, but I'm going to use it for an illustration. How many of us go out and resume up our dead loved ones? This is something the Lord laid on my heart. That sounds gross, doesn't it? How much time do we spend up digging up our dead past? Hello? You see the relation? We spend time, we would not go out and dig up a loved one who is deceased, and we know that's just their body. That was just our old nature buried. We don't have anything to do with it. And because we keep digging it up, we keep having problems. We keep taking part of it back on, and therefore Christ decreases in us instead of increasing. And as He decreases in us, that's when we start having problems in our life. That's when we start having losing the peace of God in our life. God said, if you seek Him, He said He'd even make, and your ways please Him, He said He'd even make your enemies to be at peace with you. He said, if you seek Him and His ways and your ways please Him, even your enemies will be at peace with you. So that means that we have to do some things. We have to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now here it's talking about, in this scripture, all before it's talking about do not worry. How many know that worry really gets you no place? It gets nothing for you except indigestion, heartache, and all these things you don't want. You know what rocking chair and worry have in common? It gives you something to do, but it takes you nowhere. Think about it. I love to rock of a morning. I love to get my coffee and sit there in my rocker, and I rock away. But you know when I'm all done? I'm still sitting in the same place. I've used energy, but it got me nothing. We spend too much time in worrying instead of seeking God. I know it might seem strange about the trash can this morning, but as I was standing back, I was hearing different people come in and tell me what a week they had and what a week they're going to have. And God immediately started dealing with me, said, put a trash can up there and tell them all to bring their cares to Him so they can enter into my praises. We got an awesome worship team in this church. I've been to churches where we didn't have awesome worship service. And I can guarantee you, I've been in churches where I was the worship team. I tell you, it wasn't awesome. If you hear me sing, you would understand why it wasn't awesome. Okay? But to make a long story short, we've got an awesome worship team here that does, it gives their heart to bring you into the presence of God. The presence of God is here, but oftentimes we let the cares of the world, because we haven't increased in God, we've decided to hang on to the cares of the world, that we can't enter into the presence of God. In chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. It says, well, you know, God, and I often go back to the five loaves and the two fish, or three fish, I can't remember what it was now, I've started to mention it. What if that little boy had that basket, said, well, I'll give you one bread, one fish, and if you do okay with it, I'll give you the rest. But yet, that's what we do to God. We said, God, I'll give you, and I loved your testimony about the tithing. That was great. Well, that was offering, not a tithe there. But praise God, we offer to God, but we say, well, God, you know, you've gave me all this stuff, and the stuff's what gets us in trouble. You gave us all this stuff. Now, I'm going to give you a part of it back, not very much of it. If you do good, well, I might give you some more. And we hold on to our stuff. When God tells us we need to give more of our stuff to Him and let Him take control of all of our stuff, we say, well, God, I'll just give you a portion. I just give you a small amount of my stuff. And if you do okay with it, we barter with God. We think we're at Vegas. We're out there, we're gambling with what we got. Telling God, if you give me a good increase, okay, I'll give you more. I know then I can trust you. That isn't what the Word of God says. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And if we're seeking His righteousness, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to start living righteous ourselves. Amen. We're going to have to start giving Him all of ourselves instead of a portion, instead of a small piece. Well, God, you know, if you do this well, and I see that I'm prospering here, well, I might give you a little bit more. But then you get your stuff and you say, oh, April Fools, I want all my stuff now. You gave me more, I want it all. Well, we're in trouble with our stuff with God. We're in trouble because we don't want to live a holy life. God says, live ye holy as I am holy. He didn't say, you know, you can read the Word and today I can live holy and tomorrow, well, you know, God, you don't know how these people offend me, so I have a right to be mad and curse and everything else they want me to do. I never seen so many cursing Christians in all my life as I'm seeing today. Come on, sir. Amen. It's coming to a place, though, that God says, be holy as I am holy. Amen. We got to get off the fence. We've too long, the church has lived on the fence. Well, I don't want to preach this because it might offend somebody. Well, I don't want to do this because it might not, you know, be received well. It might offend. When are we going to get concerned about offending God? When are we going to get so concerned with our walk with God that we offend Him and we don't care? Well, on Sunday I care. See what a good Christian I am? After all, I got my suit jacket on today. I'm a good Christian today. We can dress up in our finest, put on our finest face. But God knows the heart. God knows our heart. And as a result, that's where He deals with. He could care less how we look. He already knows we're made in His image. If we're made in His image, we look good. I don't care what anybody says, we look good. But our heart don't look so good. Our outside image does not impress God. He already knows what you look like. He knows you in your best. He knows you in the worst. And He also knows our heart. He knows our motives. He knows where we're coming from when we do things for people, where we're doing it because we want to please Him, or where we're wanting to do it to get a pat on the back. And Carol gets so tired probably hearing me say this, you got to do everything as unto the Lord, because if you're waiting for a pat on the back, you're going to get a kick in the face. More times than not, you're not going to receive the gratitude you think you deserve. Well, I really don't deserve any gratitude. God deserves all the gratitude. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And if we're going to have more of God in our life, we know now that we got to have less of us. That's in Matthew. Let me step back up here. In Matthew chapter, Jiminy Christmas, I forgot to write it down. I think it's Matthew 6:30, I think is where it is. Anyway, it tells, it's not Matthew, it's John chapter 3, verse 30. It says, He must increase, I must decrease, is what the Word says. So if I'm going to have to decrease to bring Him more in, that means I've got on my knees and I've got to start letting God direct my paths. I've got to start letting God have His way in my life, in my conversation, in my attitude, in my thoughts. We got to put everything under captive to the Spirit. Because when we operate in the natural, that's when we offend God. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's when we get to the place to where we offend those around us, because we claim to be a Christian, but our mouth is not sounding like it and our actions are not showing it. But if we decrease and Christ increases in our life, we get more of God in our life. My heart's desire is when people see me, they hear me talk, they see my actions, they see Him and not me. That's my heart's desire. Let me tell you something right now, everybody. I'm not there yet. I've got a lot of grooming yet to do. God's got a lot of grooming. When I try to groom it, I go the wrong way. But I desire to have God to do more grooming in my life so that I can reach the lost. So I can be out there and minister to the brokenhearted. I can see the sick healed. I can see the blind see. I can see the lame walk once again, because God is operating through me. His Spirit's so strong in me. The anointing's so strong in me. And the disciples, if they just walked by, well, people were healed. That's what I want God to do, because that Spirit is not dead. Yes. Praise God. Glory to God. When the church gets back to that, when we want more of the Spirit, we want to be more controlled by God than we do ourselves, that's when we're going to see the healings come place in the service. That's when we're going to see the blind see. That's when we're going to see the lame walk. And that's when we're going to see the brokenhearted healed, in which that's what we should be about in the Father's house. Praise God. Praise God. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38, when he had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, Whosoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. We have to do that daily, people. We can't just take up our cross on Sundays. That's a good time to take it up and renew it. That's what coming to church should be, is a renewing. And take up our cross. It should help us to take up our cross every day and follow Him. Sundays, now, I'm going to contradict you, Eddie. I don't mean to do that, but I've got to say this. Sundays, my morning, I love to get up. I love to get up and come to church. The work morning's not so much. I like making money because I like to eat. I like to keep living in my house. I have to pay my taxes. I have to drive my car. But I love to come Sunday because I like to eat spiritually. I want to eat spiritually every day, but Sunday's my time to get with the brothers and sisters, and we can come together and strengthen one another. That's a day when we can just have a good old time and let our hair down. Those that's got hair to let down. Let our hair down and just enjoy life. Enjoy what God has for us. I used to have hair, but I talked back to Carol one too many times. I tease this woman all the time. So anyway, because she's the best. My messages come a lot from her. She does all the groundwork on the scriptures for me. Now, I go on the job, and I research things out, and I do great. But when it comes to the Word of God, this woman's on top of it. I praise God that I have her, because she gets the scripture. I say, this is what I have. Yeah, praise God. I say, this is what I have. This is what the scripture is I'm wanting. I said, she can take a word and find a history on it. I take a word, I find nothing on it. Okay? She does really good. So she's partly responsible for my sermons. And I praise God that God gave me a helpmate that works hand in hand with me. He always knows how to match you up. You know, and the bottom line is she's a big part of my messages in getting me the scriptures that I need. And because I can tell her what I'm wanting, and she gives it to me. But that woman prays all the time, and I'm not trying to lift her up. I'm trying to lift up the Spirit of Christ in her. That He gave me a wife who is full of the Spirit and who strengthens me and who stands by my side. And I praise God for it. But we got to pick up our cross and follow Him daily. We're going into a week of Thanksgiving. We're going into a week here when the nation as a whole is supposed to give thanks. Set aside, back at Abraham Lincoln set this aside years ago, where we can give thanks for all that God has done for us. But we become a nation not thankful. We come from a nation that's shopping that day and doing our thing, watching football, and everything else, we can't even take time to be thankful to God for one day. Now, the world we know, but the church has entered in. We've compromised. You know, if we would start saying no to the stores being open, of course, it might have a drastic effect now, but back when they started, but the Christians wanted to shop on Sundays too. We go to the restaurants on Sunday too, and then tell everybody they shouldn't work on Sunday, but it's okay for them to work to feed us. Hello. And there's different other things that we do. You know, I'm thankful, and I'm going to take a little minute here. I'm thankful for the people in the church who clean our floors, our carpets, our restrooms. Then people get unnoticed. And Gary is very good, and Mike are very good at keeping this church clean. Now, I know it's under the direction of Tammy, and I praise God we got a pastor's wife who's got the house of God in mind, and she wants to stay clean at all times. But I give God the glory, too, and thanks for sending us guys like Gary and Mike to keep this place clean. I thank God for the testimonies that you all have. You know, and that was something God was dealing with me. Sometimes we think that we're unworthy to be a Christian because we don't have this fantastic testimony of God delivers from drinking alcohol and doing drugs and all this bad stuff. Some people were just good people without the Lord. God has done a lot of dealing with me on that over the last couple of days here about Veterans Day and about you know, people in the church who don't get noticed. Veterans Day, not because, you know, I'm a veteran, there's a lot of veterans out there, but in Veterans Day, if you watch, it's only the ones that went to war that get the praise. In the church, it's the ones that they see out front that get the praise. The people behind the scene are what make these people successful. There's what they are. What keep the people there? I knew a lot of veterans who worked extreme hours. There was a lot of injuries, just trying to keep up with the war effort to support the front line. And yet, a lot of times, the average veteran is overlooked because he wasn't in the war. She wasn't in the war, but her efforts created what she done. Help create. What Gary and Mike and different others behind the scene do in this church, what makes this church successful? It's what keeps the pastor able to go. It's what keeps Otis and the praise worship and the praise and worship team going. It's what keeps us clean pews and we can come in and worship them in freedom because we have a nice clean church. But you know, what I'm trying to get at here, it's Gary and Mike and all those behind the scene. They're dedicated to God. They have said, God, I don't care. I'm going to be faithful at my station because that's where I can be my witness. And oftentimes we overlook those and people that don't have great testimonies of what God done. To me, a person that just got, they were a good person and got saved has a great testimony because they realized that no matter how good they were, they wasn't good enough to get to heaven. They needed Jesus Christ. So let's appreciate everybody's testimony. You know, and it's the same way in the church about testimony. People, oh boy, it's great what God has set you from. And it is. But it's great that you come to the realization if you was a great person and still realized that you needed Jesus Christ. That's also just as important. But the Bible says, the Word of God says, we need to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. It can't be just on Sundays. It's got to be daily. Verse 37 says, for whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to give? Now, I'm going to tell you, this word I'm reading is not for the world. It's for the church. The Word of God is mainly for the church. And when He's telling us that, He's saying, you got to come out from a lukewarm heart. If you say you want more of me, if you want more of me, you're going to have to give me more of you. That's the only way you're going to get more, because you're so full of self, you can't have more of me. But when we get rid of self, and the Word says we should die to self, when we get rid of self, we get more God in our life. We see what God accomplishes through our dying of ourself by getting more of Him in our life. As we get more of God in our life, things don't offend us. How many in here, you don't have to show your hand, how many are easily offended in here? That's a question you ask yourself. I can be easily offended if I allow myself to be. But the Word of God tells me I'm not to be easily offended. I'm to shake it off, put it under the blood of Jesus, and keep moving forward and not be offended. That is what causes problems in the church, because we're all easily offended. And I'm not pointing my finger. That's just a blanket statement, okay? But you all can judge for yourself. As I was preparing this, God was showing me something that I've known for a while, but He just recalled it back. He gave me this revelation several years ago because I was a truck mechanic after I got saved. I've wore many hats in my life, so I can talk about a lot of different things and know nothing about anything, okay? But anyway, when I was a mechanic, a young age, just hadn't been a Christian too awful long, God started ministering to me. That's when the computers were coming out and the self-diagnostic stuff was coming out on cars and trucks and more cars than it was trucks. And that's when computers were coming in and you would hit a button and it would tell you error in the program and you had to figure it out and all this. The computer knew what was wrong, but you didn't. Or I didn't. I sat there now and still look at it, okay? What to do now, Lord? And the Lord has to give me the wisdom on what to do because I don't know how to fix a computer, you know, or I don't know how to do a lot of the technical stuff. I get a lot of the times the I've had pastors say, Lee, when are you going to get up to speed and get you an iPad to bring the word up and to preach out of and put your message in? I said, until the Lord tells me that's what I need, I'm going to stick with my Bible. Because I know it. I feel just like David when they tried to put Saul's armor on him. It didn't fit. It didn't work for him. So he used what worked. And that's what we got to do. Reading the word in the natural on pages works for me. Technology doesn't. I trip myself all up. Everybody gets tickled when I'm texting. The guys watch me text. Most people can text a message in seconds. It takes me minutes because I'm in reverse more. I'm in forward because I've done typed the wrong thing. I'm hitting too many keys at the same time. So I trip myself up. But you know what? I get into the word and God's clear to me in the word there on them pages. So I use that. But anyway, back to when I was a mechanic. You thought I forgot, didn't you? I go on rabbit trails every once in a while. But anyway, when I was a mechanic, God started showing me. You know, these computers do self-diagnostics. When you turn the key on your car, whether you realize it or not, in seconds, milliseconds, it already diagnoses itself. It comes up. Okay, you got this problem. Or you're driving down the road, your check engine light, come on, it's already diagnosed itself. Something's wrong with your car. We've got all this self-diagnostic stuff on the stuff we build. Anything man builds is going to crash. I can tell you that. Sooner or later. But we got all this self-diagnostic stuff on man-made machines. But we don't use the self-diagnostics of God's word to hold ourselves accountable to tell us something's wrong. We know something's wrong, but we don't go to his word to find out what it is. We can pretty well tell, but we don't go to his word to cure it, I should say. We got to do a basic self-diagnostics of ourselves and recharge ourselves with the word of God on a daily basis. And when we got a problem, we need to go back to the Word of God, diagnose ourselves, and go back to the Word of God and get the cure so that we can have more God in our life and less of us. But I love, as I was thinking about some of the testimonies of how God has touched people in my life, how he's used people to minister to me, and how he's used me to minister to other people. But I was thinking about testimonies, and I was thinking about Mike's testimony back there, and I know the pastor brought it up last week, but I brought it up in life group there the week before and stuff. Mike's got a fantastic testimony of how God showed him his love, and he still loved him. God wants to show each and every one of you how much he loves you. And as we get out of ourselves and get more into him, we'll feel more of God's love. We'll experience, I don't say feel, we're going to experience more of God's love. Feelings will lie to you every time. How many of us have got up or done something and said, well, I just don't feel the presence of God? Hello. I've been there, done that too many times. But God showed me a few years ago, feelings lie to you. I'm always with you. The Word of God says he's with you and he never forsakes you. And that's paraphrasing it. But he says he never forsakes us. So the devil's a liar. He's the one that plays with your feelings. He's the one that causes you to feel like, well, God, it don't matter what I do. God's not going to draw any closer to me. You know, so there's not really, I don't feel like praising God today. I don't feel like serving God today. God didn't say he left you. No matter how you feel, God didn't say he left you. It's the devil lying to you. That's when you get in the Word of God. That's when you start praying and you start taking authority over that spirit and you start saying, I know my God loves me. Because I gave my life to Christ, and God said, if I give my life to Christ, he will never leave me nor forsake me. I just know that there's something in my life that's causing me not to feel the presence of God. Hello? We like to, we're living in a society that likes to blame everybody else for what's wrong with them. And most of it has to go back to the parents, and the parents were good parents, but they're all of a sudden they're not good parents. It's somebody else's fault that I can't serve God. Well, the church, they just don't encourage me. How many think the church should encourage you? Absolutely. That's where we come every Sunday morning. We should be an encouragement to one another. Our brothers and sisters' testimony should encourage us to draw closer to God. And if we're going through battle, that's the reason why I felt it so important in my spirit to have the ladies of the church to pray for Jenny. Because she needed to know that she was loved by God. And God told me on my spirit, He didn't speak to me, but in my spirit, the Holy Spirit said to have her prayed for. I know that the service this morning was a little different, but I right from the start, when I stand back there, I walked this sanctuary quite a bit while they were singing in different times, and God started ministering to me what happened, what needed to happen. And sometimes when you get out of rhythm with everything else, people just don't know quite how to handle it because they get used to a routine. But I will say this, I believe in letting the Holy Spirit lead instead of myself, okay? We had a fantastic service here of people being touched, but God, when God says, I want my people ministered to now, we've got to minister to them then when He says so. We wait till the end of the service, they've talked themselves out of what God wants them to do. So it's important for us to be obedient. I praise God for the praise and worship team yielding and to what God was laying on my heart to do. And I ask everybody to understand that, you know, sometimes things have got to change because we program the Holy Spirit sometimes and we miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I praise God for the praise and worship team, how they work with Naomi, the pastor, and different others. It's not like that in a lot of churches. You go by the program and you don't deviate. It says here in verse 38, it says, "For whosoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with the holy angels." It's time for us to get bold and not get back. It's time for us to die out to self. It's time for us to get off the fence and give all to the Lord. And as we give all to Him, He'll give His all to us. You'll have more of God than you can contain. Everybody around you will get part of it because it just spews out. The anointing, like I said, the apostles just would pass somebody, the anointing was so strong that people would be healed. And when we get more of God in our lives and less of us, when you come past somebody, they're going to know you're a woman or a man of God, and they're going to know that's where they can get their help. And they also know that when you touch them, that you're going to get healed. Not because you touched them, but because of the Holy Spirit in you and your anointing of God in your life, that they're going to get healed. I'm sorry. James chapter 4, verse 10. We've got to kind of wind it up here. James 4, verse 7 through 11. It says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Laminate and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." And when it's talking about double-minded, it means here in this scripture, if you study it out, it means you're trying to walk in the world and walk with God both. You can't do it. That's the fence rider. God's saying your time here is short. He's coming soon. And we need to get off the fence and move forward with Him. And to do that, we got to have less of self and more of Him. We've got to walk boldly in the things of God. That's what's wrong with the world today. The church has been lukewarm. The church has not taken on things. The church has taken a stand. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. They didn't care if they offended God. They just wanted not to offend anybody else because a paycheck or a minister's paycheck or the church's doors being open without struggle depended on them getting the dollars. Hello? That's the truth. Guy told me one time there when I was preaching, he said, Lee, he said, you preach strong because, he said, I believe it's because you don't have to depend on a paycheck from the church. Now, it sounded kind of funny, but the more I thought about that, that was grievous. That's a grievous that a pastor doesn't have the freedom or can't preach the word in the church. And I praise God, we got a pastor that does, and he's not ashamed, and I praise God for our pastor. But we got a lot of churches out there and have had that the pastor wouldn't preach because he didn't want to offend because his livelihood depended on how big his congregation was. It's a shame. And you know, that at first I kind of chuckled, and then the more I got to thinking about it, I thought, oh me, Lord. And He's right. A lot of the places I went to preach, and I'm not, don't look at Lee, but I have not received a dime. I've done it because the church needed it, and they didn't have any money to pay me. And I didn't care. I was there to preach for God. And if it helped one person, it was worth it. I got my payment. It don't matter to me. God has blessed me with a business where I get a paycheck, and I don't have to rely on the church to give me a paycheck. I praise God when a church does, but that's optional. I don't care. I'm there to serve and be a mouthpiece for God, and I don't care if I get paid or not. I just want God to be glorified and the body be edified. That's what my goal is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn now to Psalms 37, verse 28. We're about to end here. Pastor Otis. I praise God for Pastor Otis. Let's give him a hand. He and Ivy do a great job in this church. And I praise God for the whole worship team. I really do. But I know what a job it is for Pastor Otis and Ivy. You know, they have to seek the Lord a lot to know how to bring out what God wants and to bring people into the Spirit of God. It takes a lot of prayer and effort on their part. So I thank God for him, as well as our pastor and Tammy and the leadership of this church. I thank the good Lord, before I read this last one, for the elders and the deacons in the church who keep the church open. It keeps the church up to speed. It keeps the repairs done. I thank God for everyone in this church who does it. I thank God that he has blessed this church with these kind of people, that you're giving people. I thank the Lord that I can be a part of this body of Christ, that God has brought me here to be a part. And I praise him for each and every one of you here this morning. For all the newcomers or visitors here that just today's your first day, I thank God that you've come. And I pray that you'll make this your place of worship. Then know that you're safe here and that you'll be blessed here and you will hear the word of God here. And you will be encouraged. And here in verse 28, I think I wrote down, I think it was supposed to be, I'm going to read 28 anyway. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Let's go to 73. I have a terrible habit of transposing numbers. Let's go to 73:28. Yeah, that's the one I want. There again, my wife straightens me out. I didn't let her check it out. So it's my fault. Psalms chapter 73, verse 28. It says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works." Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, I just want to ask, are you wanting more God in your life? Are you willing to give Him more of you so you can have more of Him? Are you ready to quit digging up old self and walk in the Spirit and walk holy as He is holy to receive more of Him in your life? Because that's what it takes. It takes us being sold out to Him. We must decrease and He must increase. I'll just say this morning, if you want more of God, give Him more of you. As you give Him more of you, you'll see God increase in your life. That's my heart's desire. And if any would like to come and recommit your life to Christ, or if for some here who's never had a born-again experience and you would like to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come so we can pray for you. If there's any here that's sick and afflicted that needs healing, come. We'll ask the prayer team to come up, please. Because God loves you, and He wants you to have more of Him. But as we come before Him, we've got to humble ourselves and give Him more of us. As we give more of us, we'll receive more of Him. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Shall we stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there any here that would like to have a special prayer this morning? We'll pray for you right where you are. Could I ask the prayer team, are you free to where you can come up? Yeah. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for each and every one here this morning, Lord. I know they're here this morning, Lord, because they want to draw closer to You. Lord, just help them, Lord, to get rid of more of self so they can have more of You, Lord. You've given us a beautiful bunch of people here, Lord, and Lord, a good bunch of workers, and Lord, the people that have a heart for You. But Lord, as they want come and want to draw closer to You, Lord, just show them where they need to, what they need to give to You, Lord, so that they can draw closer to You. And Lord, we thank You for the love and that You're putting in our hearts for one another. And Lord, we just thank You for the love that You're putting in our hearts for the lost and those that are sick and afflicted. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for Your presence here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that You'll be with each and every one as we enter into a week of giving thanksgiving. Lord, it will not be slack in giving You thanks for all that You've done for us, all the blessings, all the things that You've done for us, Lord, over the years as well as this year past. And Lord, we thank You for the blessings You're going to continue to bless us with. Lord, bless each and every family here. Bless their day, their Thanksgiving day, Lord. And Lord, we just claim the joy of the Lord in their home this day. And Lord, we claim, Lord, that the peace of God will rest in their home. And Lord, bless them with a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.